This episode contains a few swears, stories and themes of an adult nature. If you are of a nervous disposition or are a child, perhaps go back to the flower pressing and leave this podcast for the grown-ups. This episode of the Beyond Canal Park podcast is sponsored by Kevin Murdo Driving Instructor, One Way to Drive. Kev offers a thoroughly professional service with the option of 1 hour or 1.5 hour slots available. He will even sort you out with great offers on block bookings. For more information, call 0777 979 6487 or contact Kev through the One Way to Drive Facebook page. Go on, give Kev a call. 0777 979 6487. You'll be glad you did. Absolutely delighted to be bringing the Beyond Canal Park podcast back for a second series. Thanks for all the messages of support, feedback and guest suggestions while I've been taking a break. It really means a lot to me. So welcome back to all my regular listeners and those of you who are new to the podcast, thanks for joining me. I would appreciate it if you all liked and followed the Facebook page. And all going to plan, I've got some really exciting mixture of guests coming up. Sticking to my local roots for the most part, a wee break from football as well on occasion to branch out into other issues, as well as the possibility of a couple of more famous faces. Again, see the Facebook page for more details. Local football has been rumbling on in my absence though. Devon Vale, they didn't have a game this week to tell you about. Devon's side shipped 4 to no reply away to Cooter, as their season looks in danger of fizzling out a bit. White Hills' match against New Elgin was called off in the morning of the game. No, not through too much dog shit on the pitch. It was a waterlogged pitch this time. With me on the show this week is former Huntley, Turriff United and Devon side player, also the ex-side gaffer, and now current Rothie Rovers player, Wayne Murdo. A big thanks to Wayne for stepping up first to kick off the series. It was a nice easy one for me to get myself going again, having on someone I know reasonably well. Wayne talked to me about learning his trade with Highland League legends at Huntley, winning silverware with Turriff United, some high jinks on nights out gone wrong with Devon side squad, the lows of relegation as a manager, and vindication joy of promotion and cup wins. It was an entertaining and candid chat with Wayne, and here's what he had to say. It's great to be back hosting the Beyond Canal Park. Series 2 is opening with a guest I know well, a former Devon side, Huntley and Turriff United player, and more recently had a 4-year stint as co-manager of Devon side, and is now back playing in the amateur ranks with ambitious Rothie Rovers. Welcome to the show, Wayne Murdo. How you doing?
Not bad, James. Thanks for having me on.
Not bad. I'm looking forward to hearing all about your playing, your management days, and you've prepared a best 11 played with, I think.
Aye, I have, but to be honest, I'm just kind of on to publicly call you out for the mattress that you're still due me for that infamous team night out a few years ago.
We'll edit up out. Okay. Okay, I always like to give sponsors a shout out. You're currently playing for Rothie Rovers, so who are their main sponsors at the moment?
So the main sponsors are BGC Joinery, FIS Chemicals, the Brimmen Group, the Rothie Inn, a good pint there, also the Butcher's Arms in Inverurie, Premier Coaches, Drum Filling Station, and Phil Stewart Slayton in Roughcasting.
They're well backed anyway.
I know, they are well supported, so thanks to them.
Good. So Wayne, take me back to wee Wayne. Where did the love of football come from, and how did your football journey begin?
I think it just started with my dad, really. he just got me into kicking a bath at an early age. My cousin, Paul Munro.
Uh-huh.
So I guess to suit the back, I mean, John Scott alluded to the famous parkie out in Lucilla Road. Uh-huh. I mean, I was brought up in that sort of area as well. So, I mean, it was kind of, I was out playing for a young age. Uh-huh. And then that kind of, as we got a bit older, led to the sort of Devon Boys and sort of stuff for there. Like.
Okay, so you're saying you're a Bath loon, so Devon Boys was your first club. Who were your early coaches that gave you the early touches development?
So for a start, it was Gordy Munro. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Abby will see him kicking about Banff. Like, he's still
early doors.
He likes a yap about a fit buzz with Gordy. Like, and Granty's father, James Noble. So them two were really involved for a young age, kind of like for I guess early primary, right through the Devon Boys age. So they were really good for us at that time.
Who was coming through with you at that age group? Who were you?
So you probably had I guess obviously my cousin Paul Munro, Grant Noble, Jordan Mackay. We kind of got Soapy, Kevin Sappel, and that sort of heroes came across for the wrong side of the bridge as well. Like, so. So, I mean, that was the kind of the mix of boys for that sort of young age.
And you obviously played you in school football. Any stories for that time, the school team? And did you, Nielsen, did he have a big impact on you?
No, I think John touched on it. I mean, I guess. I want to be the only one as well. It's got to say about Stuart Nielsen. I mean, he obviously improved a lot of players and kind of gave players that sort of understanding of the game and kind of you were kind of taught how to play 11-a-side football. He was obviously quite strict in his approach, but I mean, he needed to be. And I think a lot of players certainly developed under his guidance, and it's, for me, it's no coincidence that the gap that he's had has probably had an effect in probably the players coming through in the local area.
I think you're probably right, and it'll be interesting to see what he has to say about that when he comes on later in the series.
Yep.
So you have a successful school team?
I mean, our school team was really good, to be honest. I mean, it was every year we basically won the league. It was kind of like cup double, kind of doubles and trebles even. Basically right through for first year to kind of senior level, our age group was really strong. And we certainly was kind of like regarded as one of the better school teams in the area. No, I mean, school football was good. When I got to fourth year, that's when we mixed. We sort of Johnny and Mikey Smith and Donkey, Graham Watt and that sort of guys. Although I don't think Graham played too much with Graham because he broke his foot taking a corner, which always gets brought up to, gets brought up now and then. Like.
Okay. And in terms of in the pro sphere at that point, who were your big heroes you watched growing up and the teams that you supported?
Definitely a massive Aberdeen fan. And Ian Jess, I guess, was
he
was the main man, being for Pertsoy. My dad played with him a bit, Pertsoy, the connection with that. So he was definitely the guy that every local hero had been looked up to.
But backed it up, great player. We'd have taken him at Rangers any day.
I mean, he probably didn't get as much Scotland caps as he probably should have.
If he was playing now, he'd be.
he'd definitely be playing there. But I mean, I guess as well in terms of centre halves, I mean. And then our guest that's coming on, big Colin Hendry.
Braveheart.
He was Braveheart. I mean, I think, there's nobody
disliked
Colin.
You attempted to copy his hairstyle for a while.
Well, Turriff United, I did have a big blonde wig, which kind of was kind of like quoted a few times, like, but I mean, centre half, sweet big blonde wig, so I'm not too sure, but that's what I was rocking back in that day anyway.
Okay, so who would you credit as having the biggest single influence on you growing up and becoming an adult?
Oh, certainly my mum and dad, and brother, Jinka. I guess kind of we're really close as a family, but they've kind of put me on the right path, and obviously I've got a lot of love and respect for them all, and my uncle, Gordy, I guess, he was a big influence in terms of football. He was always putting on extra training sessions, and he would take a keen interest in our football. Obviously, I've got to give credit to the better half. I mean, Siobhan's put up with me for the last, I think it's about 7.5 years now. Like, so she's certainly been.
And the marriage is in the corner, I believe.
I in July. And 21. So we've got a wee bit of time yet.
So she's not quite getting into the cycle wedding mode yet.
No, but the signs are there. Like, I'm kind of just saying, I'll be in charge of the honeymoon, and you can do the rest, sort of thing. Like, so.
But mother-in-law's the local dentist over in McDuff. So we're going to be seeing you with the donkey 3 grand smile.
Well, I don't know if I'll get the old 3 grand smile, like, but I might try and scran a bit of teeth whitening or something, like, but no, I mean, donkey's 3 grand smile didn't last too long when
he got knocked out against
Cooter, like, so that wasn't a good investment, like, but.
Okay, so moving on, you're growing up a bit, and your first club was Huntley, I believe.
Aye, I mean, Billy Anderson obviously was very successful with his time at the Vale with Greg and kind of that team, but obviously the fallout or whatever happened with them kind of led to Billy taking over at Huntley. So he naturally tried to get some players for the local area to kind of jump ship instead of naturally going for sort of Divonvale youths, kind of like he managed to get some players up to Huntley. So I mean that was a really good experience for me.
He did really well, Huntley. Is that the year they won the league?
I think it would have been the 2004-05 season. I was just like 16, 17 at the time. So he teamed me up for pre-season. There was a few of us that went up and did well at pre-season, and he asked if I wanted to sign, commit. So I mean, did the hell of pre-season, and I remember my debut coming on. It was like a wee friendly match against Carly Thistle.
Okay.
So I got on for like the last, I think it was like the last 20 minutes, but they actually scored, believe it or not.
Nice one.
Got on. I mean, it was, I wouldn't say it was a rocket for the edge of the box, but I followed in a rebound and tucked her away, and Mark Brown was on the sticks at the time.
He was at Celtic as well.
He had a decent enough career. Like, so that's
been SPL at that point.
That was my only sort of claim to fame, I guess, like, but no, in that sort of team, I mean, there was some really good experienced players. I mean, for the goalie, I mean, for Barry Thompson and goals, but then you had like Scott Andersons and Levi Stephen, Jerry O'Driscoll, local boys, Gildy, Gary McGowan, actually Alan Stephen was up at the time, so I actually got to know Alan quite well at the time, because we obviously travelled to training and stuff and games. So, it was really good. It was a great experience for me. I mean,
Were some of the old boys still there? I feel like the 5 in a row days.
Marco de Barros was an interesting guy.
John, he said he ran with the elbows out, didn't he?
He kind of like pulled his shorts right up to like his
oxters. And kind of young, was what a team. Martin Stewart.
Martin Stewart was there, so I mean, Martin and like Marco were kind of like coming towards the end of their days, but they obviously been. But they obviously had great experience in winning things and kind of was good for the dressing room and kind of kept the boys, the cannons and sort of wine.
You get a good social time with it.
It wasn't probably wise, but Richie Taylor kind of took me under his wing, like, so he was young at the time as well, and I've never seen somebody drink vodka like him like before. Wow. I mean, he would comfortably see a couple 70 CLs on the way back for Wick or for William or whatever, but he was a really nice guy. Like, I mean, he ended up staying a couple of nights in Banff, mm-hmm. and because he obviously must have had a couple of Lucines in Banff when the Vale won the league as well, so mm-hmm. he was acquainted with a few females for Banff, like, so it was.
So a good place to be for a 16, 17 year old boy.
I mean, for me, obviously, I mean, because of the quality of the players, it was there. I mean, that year I was only on the bench a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Although I was the first team squad, I'd be there every Saturday in training. I was more involved with sort of like the under-18s and the mm-hmm. the 21s. But back in the 21s then, it was really like, it was really good at that point, because normally, like, sometimes you would come up against like Highland League basically full teams, like, there wasn't the same restrictions, and it was pretty good. Learned a lot for like kind of guys just watching how like guys like Scotty and like Ken Levi and stuff prepare and how they were and
how to conduct yourself
and how to win, because there was so much winners in that team.
It was like, in that list, that's for sure.
So it was a great experience. But I mean, Billy Anderson was exceptional, really, and his assistant at the time was Cormac. Mike Cormac. So and he had Luggies, Brian Thompson. He was like the youth team coach as well. So it was like the three of them were really good. So it was Billy the man management side of things was excellent, and then like Cormac and Luggies would give boys a good rummel up and kind of like that side of it as well. But I mean, no, it was really good for a young lad to kind of be in that environment. But I mean, I guess ultimately it came to the time fun. Mm-hmm. I had to go and play. Adult football really consistently on a Saturday. So
to knock on, you need to go and play men's football. So you were sent out on loan to Banff.
Ian Cormac and Mikey Anderson were the co-managers at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I really enjoyed my loan spell. You had players like Decky Burnett, mm-hmm. Duncan Watt, Rod McKinnon, Neely Duncan was like the goalies at the time, big Craigie Sauce, Razor, the captain.
Uh-huh. Captain Razor.
Tash for a tit-nip. And, uh-huh. You get a good arse farm off of Tash.
Uh-huh.
And just like a good blend of like young boys, you team like Roscoe, Ernie, Soapy, kind of like, so it was just like a good time to kind of.
Aye, and were you playing every week?
That's when I kind of like came in one like the first mm-hmm. wee while. I mean, I remember my first game. Uh-huh. Actually played left back on that particular day. That's when I could almost run. Like, I mean, I could shift a wee bit faster than Snell. And I just remember it. I mean, kind of like when you're playing in the 20s, 21s and the 18s and stuff at youth football, I mean, under the lights on a Monday at Huntley, it was fine because you were playing with good players and you were swanning about, but Forrest away, first ball was played up and the strikers just boomed me, big elbow, but put me through the railing, and I'm expecting like a red card or something, and the refs like play on, and it was just like a big eye-opener and just a wakey-wakey to say, like, welcome to the juniors. And so it was like, a steep learning curve for me, because I mean, I had to kind of toughen up quickly because a 17, 18 year old centre half playing in the juniors, you sink or swim, that's and you it. Just have to get on with it, like.
And a couple of people have got in touch with me to say that you're up there, you're known as the tightest man in Banff, last time in Banff.
Tightest man in Banff, I'm not sure of this.
Can you confirm or deny, on one occasion you were going on holiday to Malia, you'd ordered some new clobber, but refused to pay the next day delivery, and then the clobber didn't arrive in time.
That was that story seems to have snowballed for years, like, but... no, that's nonsense. I mean, it was a good marquee upper, like, I did pay the $4.99 and got a couple of Rascal t-shirts, like, but no, that holiday was good, funny enough. Like, I mean, we...
liked an aftershock and ice.
Aftershock and ice was, was seemed to be the drink for some reason, but I mean, I guess when Stuart comes on, he'll tell you about the sort of players that kind of floated about, but... I mean, we had a few games of two touch with Adam Lallana and Martin Craney and stuff and Crete, so
well, that Stuart's was our point for him.
So he'll touch on them, I'm sure.
So standout stories or moments for that loan spell?
I think there was a couple stories which were quite eventful. I mean, I remember Cormac. I mean, we were coming home for, I think, Craigie, you had touched on the story, but we were Trinent away, and it was a Scottish Cup game, and we actually did all right. I mean, we got beat 4-1 Trinent away, Ken, so, like, it wasn't a total embarrassing, Ken. I mean, Grant, Ken, I mean, I guess if John and Mikey's offered that just now, they'd probably take it, Ken, and just get on with it, but... Decky Burnett cracked the vodka open straight away after the game, Ken, and it was like hout pass and a straight bottle of vodka, and Ken felt like young loons are getting roped into all that sort of stuff, so it was quite, you were probably allowed to drink on buses then as well, but so as the journey progresses, boys are getting chirpier and shouts are going down to Cormac and winding him up, so then he came up the back of the bus by this point, and he was steaming. He started slaughtering Abdi, which was fine, and you were shite, and you boys are getting an absolute doing on Monday night, so I wouldn't have been drinking any more because you're getting doing. So that, being the cheeky wee shite that I was just fired doing to him, and I was like, absolutely no chance I'll be getting pommeled, Cormac. I'm going to Huntley 21's game. So he just flipped, stormed up the back of the bus, teamed me by the throat, pinned me at the back of the bus. And that was like, he was just, so the boys are like trying to split it up and I had, and but it was, hey,
yeah, it was just,
that's
what
it was, and mean, Ken, but I actually did sack off the 21s game, and I went to training and teamed the pum one, like, so, but I was forgotten about, and hey, I, like you say, I mean, that old school approach is just fit it was back then, but... But no, that was a good journey up. I mean, there was a lot of carry-ons. I think didn't help when Ross Thompson blocked the toilet like a big Kenga, like, so he killed the boys all the way up. And then I think maybe John Calder maybe wet himself as well on the way back up. Like, so, I mean, wee pissy pants didn't help the Calder's time at the side. Like,
I was speaking to Razor earlier.
Razor,
yeah, good pal. He said you and him were drinking buddies. He said he teen you under his wing when you first came in, and but he's loved the night. You were out in the suits after games. Bag was in the laundry, and one night you decided to get the gear on and run a bit, kicking bars about the side club. Committee not very happy.
I mean, I've got a lot of time for Razor. I mean, you can how Ray is as a person. Uh-huh. I mean, he's great for the changing room, and he was. He did take the young boys under the wing, and I'll say Tina young boys, I mean, he isn't that much older than us, like, but he, that particular game, I think the game maybe got cancelled, the game was postponed, so you came for like, I mean, it's right, game's off, all day, called out, so
yes,
we're at the club, and I mean, you came for like young loons are. Mm-hmm. Were we over the top a bit? Aye, probably. I mean, when you the game's off and you're in for 1 o'clock and come 10 o'clock, mm-hmm. boys are well on their way, shall we say? And I think in fact was decided it was through into the kit room, so the boys have got the strips on. We've got a 5-a-side gun on in the hall, and bars are getting pinged, and 2 fitters are aye. So obviously the committee was steered, even though we were the only folk in the pub. Uh-huh. But I think if it got teen too far was like it kind of like spilled through into the other look, and it's like the other bit for the pool table was, and I don't know, Kane. I think it was probably Soapy. Well, blame Soapy because he's got the blame.
It was him.
It was him, and somebody like wrote something on the pool table cloth. So the little bingo pens were getting thrown about. So like Soapy had written something, and then it started like these comments, and then it started like stuff was getting said about Cormac's daughter Nicola, and then there was all these sort of steers that was coming on about Cormac and Mikey and Georgie Muppet and all that sort of thing. So we kind of teed that too far. Uh-huh. There's no doubt about that. So the Monday,
would you like to publicly apologise now?
I would publicly apologise. I mean, it wasn't a me that I didn't actually write anything on it. I mean, I witnessed it, but I mean, but that was certainly teen too far, and I guess as a team we milked it at night, but we thought we had a night out of it, and it kind of like was almost like forgotten about, because at the time you didn't think, oh well, it was nothing. So we rocked up the training on a Monday, but it was back in the day for there was no WhatsApp, there was nothing. I mean, you would text boys at a push, Ken, like, but you were you didn't care, and that's why boys went to training that day, was so that you actually found out what happened, and kind of boys had been disco kissing some honkers or whatever, that's how you found out. So we went in and training on Monday, and Abdi's kind of like sitting, waiting. Cormac and Mikey comes in, and nothing said. So Abdi's kind of like looking about, and I was like, okay, out you go, boys, you can get warmed up. So we did a session, just a session as normal, and like we thought that we had got off with it. So Abdi's after the training, happy days, I bet. Wednesday came, boom, they absolutely pummeled us, absolutely just went through us one by one in the changing room, one by one. I like doggies just like ran the hell 2 hours after it. Razor got his captaincy stripped off him. Which was a massive thing, and Ray was obviously devastated. We were devastated for him, and it was a big thing. But I think to make things even worse, I mean, Tash was made captain. So to fit a boot in on him there, Tash becomes the new skipper. And I mean, we did apologise to the committee, and we kind of like, I think we clubbed in to pay for any damages and stuff. But I mean, that was kind of an instant for we. Uh-huh. We'd teen it too far, but no, it was really good times. I mean,
was there more action happening after pitching on it? Aye,
I mean, well, we weren't a very good, to be honest. I mean, we struggled at certainly that first half of the season. We struggled, but we did have good players. Mm-hmm. I mean, kind of like younger players. Gary Harris was in the team. Right. He was kind of playing. Robbie Allen. Kind of like sort of guy, so just young boys
are a bit too naive for
just,
a level at that
just
stage.
Just in a while, just to get gone. But I mean Cormac and Mikey did well, because there was some young widows, and obviously once we get onto it, I mean, I can kind of relate to that when we get to that sort of stage. But I think we played Lossie, then we went over to Elgin, so it was in the Wetherspoons, and boys were cracking on. I had a good scoop in there, and I think it was in there maybe 3-4 hours, because it was cheap booze, and that's where you went at that time in Elgin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But on the way over, boys were getting a bit rowdy, and I won't name names, but there was this guy, it was kind of like beside like Burton's, kind of like that sort of area there. Ernie Milne liked Burton's, but he was never out of there shopping-wise. He lived a Burton shirt, but... But anyway, this poor lad was changing his tyre.
Aye.
So he's got the old jack out and he's changing the tyre. So boys are coming over, singing, all the rest of it. So one individual decides to run, jump up onto the car roof.
Oh, shit.
There's a somersault doing the windscreen. Things off. The boys obviously gone mental. Boys is bitten in. Like, to somehow it was his fault. So he went for the individual, which then led to the boy getting a punch in the face, and then his car tyre got rolled down the road. It was just totally bang out of order, but I mean, that's the sort of kind of cannons that was involved in there. So if that guy is actually listening, different side, apologise, get your tyre back and apologise for you for that, Ian. But I mean, but it was good times, that's for sure. Like,
so it was maybe this off-field antics decided to fold, did it?
No, well, maybe that was part of it, to be fair. But I mean, they kind of announced that they were going to be stepping down, and the committee tried, to be honest, they tried their best to get somebody else in place, but they just couldn't. There just wasn't any interest.
No.
And unfortunately,
it's kind of almost forced upon folk.
Yep. And
which is a shame. It's a good
It is, and unfortunately, they kind of, once they stepped down, the club had to fold. Like,
okay, so but you managed to get a move to a reasonably local club up in Turriff United. They were still juniors.
Turriff was still juniors. I mean, Craig Stewart was the assistant manager of Turriff at the time, so he kind of kept his eye on things at Devon side. So effectively, what happened was pretty much half of the team went to White Hills, and then the other half kind of went to Turriff. Abdi. It wasn't as straightforward as that.
So
but,
Shaggy's went to
White Hills. The better players, so sort of like Marcel, Robbie Allen, Razor, was there somebody else? I forget if I've mentioned somebody else that didn't go, but we kind of went to Turriff at that time.
So who was the gaffer? Craig was assistant. Who's
Jim Will.
Okay.
Jim Will.
The goalie.
Aye,
is he still playing then?
He played sometimes. He kind of played emergency. I mean, he could still play. I mean, he was
Arsenal, wasn't he?
He played Arsenal I think was he in that sort of famous Scottish schoolboys team?
I think somebody's mentioned they got
robbed in that sort of team.
Aye, he might be involved there.
I think he was possibly the goalie in that team, and I mean he was really good. I mean he could, again, old school type manager. I mean he would lay into boys if it needed to be. I mean he wasn't as scared to kind of hear go at boys, and whether it was the captain or whoever, I mean, he would hear a go at boys, and the hairdryer certainly came out with him.
Aye.
But no, I mean, Turriff was really good. We had a good squad of boys.
Aye. Standards, yeah.
I mean, you had boys like Gary Petrie was an absolute baller. Chrissy Crabe, Ross Buchanan, the goalie. I think Ross is probably still playing. I think he's maybe at Cooter, or he was at Cooter. Really good goalkeeper. Barry Massey was a captain, just an absolute warrior, centre half. I mean, he was very good. Ralton, probably the dirtiest player in juniors. He liked a tackle. I think he would be sent off every week, to be honest. But you had like big characters like Lee Henderson, Lee Henderson. I mean, what a guy he was. I mean, there's very few boys that can kind of control a dressing room like the way he did. I mean, I guess the closest person next to him for doing that sort of thing would be Kyle Ray, but just that sort of guys that can, it just got the dressing room on toast, like. So
brilliant.
My time at Turriff was really good. I enjoyed it.
Successful as well, was it?
I would probably say personally as well was the best that I kind of spell that I had. I was playing with this sort of like play regularly. I was playing regularly. I mean, I didn't play every week, but I played regularly.
Had spells of doing.
Barry Massey was the sort of guy that kind of brought me on, I guess.
Okay.
he was so aggressive in the way he played, and kind of like, he helped me sort of toughen up to another sense as well, and kind of like go and play. I mean,
quite a grounding and a education for a young centre half to be learning for first Scott Anderson. Barry Massey.
And even like previously at the side, I mean, Mikey Anderson was a great centre half as well, Ken. So at training at Turriff, I mean, it was so competitive. I mean, it was like you would virtually be kicking each other off the park like at training. And I mean, I guess that kind of set the tone for like sort of Craig Stewart set that tone. But like Barry and like Hendo, Les Loban, guys like that, I mean, you were a Thursday before the game. I mean, you were kind of like resting up ice packs on the Friday before the game Saturday, because you were, they virtually trained the way they played. Like
best way, though, isn't it?
No, definitely. And like I say, I mean, we won two cups that year. We won the Grill Cup. And the regional, the old Pizza Cup, we got the Dominoes. It was a really good day out. It was on a Sunday, but we still managed to make the most of it. Like, so back to Turriff Social Club. I mean, it was rocking. I think they'd won for a wee while. So
Social Club as well.
So I know it was really good. I mean, we kind of would always go back there after games.
Craig Stewart spoke highly about their committee and that.
I know they were well supported. I mean, the club was well run, and it's no surprise that they progressed to the Highland League, because they certainly had the sort of foundations in place that they could progress. So I really enjoyed my time at Turriff.
But also behind the scenes, you maybe buck a trend with the sort of reputation of footballers. You decided you were off to uni.
I mean, I had during that time, I was actually at college. Mm-hmm. So I did like my HNC, HND at college, which allowed me to stay at home. But I had to make a decision, the career path I wanted to go down, which has obviously led into further today. I decided to go to uni, into third year at uni, to do my degree and my honours degree. So it meant, unfortunately, I had to leave Turriff at the time.
But you managed to get in a bit of fitba.
But I went down and the social scene kind of teen over. But I think that probably had a detrimental effect to my fitba wise. But certainly playing in a uni team, you've experienced it yourself. Yeah. I mean, you're almost playing you're not full time as in full time players, but you're training two or three times a week. You've got games like on a Wednesday, and they played in the Saturday league as well, kind of Edinburgh Amateurs, which was an eye opener. Like, so
I believe I was with St Andrews, and it was pretty amateurish when I was there. It's a lot better now because I've been back. But we didn't even really have a coach. But we managed my third year, I think, we got our first ever coach. And I believe he coached you guys at Napier a few years later. And
It's quite funny, when we had a chat, and kind of I described this coach, and you were like, that's not Gary Cardle, is it? And then sure enough, he was an interesting guy. I mean, he put a lot of effort into his coaching and his management style, whether it was how good it was, I don't know, but it was certainly dedicated. But the best story I've got for that is like, for some reason, I invited / allowed Ando, Soapy and Monster to come down to my halls for the weekend. Which you came student halls at the time. You've got a wee one bed apartment, and they were staying. So Abdi was, they were in. But Cardle got wind at the Banff boys. The Banff.
I loved it.
He's like, oh, we know. I hear that the Banff sheep's coming down. So, I'm coming out with you boys on Sunday. Like, and I'm like, well, I'm not sure if that's a good idea, Gary, but give me a shout, give me a text or whatever. And I didn't actually think he was going to, but
struggle with a night out with the Banff boys.
But He sure enough, like we were out on a Saturday, Potter Row. I'm sure you've been to Potter Row.
John,
I think, well, better not go into stories with John. Oh. I think he had a few but anyway, pint of diesel in Potter Row. So we had the Saturday and it rolled into the Sunday. I think it was actually the Six Nations was on at the time. So we were doing the grass market and it was Scotland, Wales or whoever it was. So sure enough, the phone goes, Cardell wants to come and meet the boys. So I've sent the boys, like, manager's coming out with us, and they're like, no chance. I'm like, aye, well, he is. He says he's coming. So he comes in a boot and, I mean, I guess Ando and Soapy and Monster are quite sort of harsh guys, like, so it didn't take long for them to sort of get stuck into Cardell. So we had an afternoon with him and he's getting tanked up. So it was in Revolution, is it Absolute Shambles or whatever, which Cardell ended up in a shambles. So so we're scooping and it was an all-day through the day in the grass market, and that was fine to a stent, and it, he's getting boozy. So we're in the shop on the way up the road. So we're like, me and Ando's, right, we'll get some beers, we'll get changed before we go to Cav. Cavendish was the joint. Sweet. So we're in there. So me and Ando's at the checkout with the booze, and the guy's like, absolutely no chance. You're not getting any more drink. and they're like, why not? Like, why not? And we turned round, here was Cardell on the floor, KO'd, and Soapy and Monster were like bowling frozen turkeys down the aisle. These frozen turkeys were getting bowled down the aisle to them. So we kind of like Escott got out, put out of there swiftly out of there. But I mean, I guess if we fast forward onto the main event, Dukesy, John Dukett was down with us at the time. He was doing the same course with us. So we were out. So we went to Cavendish, and this was near the end of the night now, and he was just wrecked. He was absolutely gone. But Hot Chocolate came on, Sexy Things. So he decides, he gets up on the stage, you can carve. I mean, some folk might get it, but I suppose you could describe it as like the Liquid nightclub in Aberdeen. It's a big nightclub. So he starts doing the old Full Monty. So Cardell's then down to the he eventually gets down to the boxers. So Abdi's cheering him on, and he was known because he was a uni manager, so like he was kind of known by different sort of sporting groups and stuff. Oh, and Dukey's rugby tackled him, whipped his boxers off, so the Cardell's naked. He's starkers in the nightclub, and he's hit to kind of like cover these bits and pieces and run through, and boys are like slight tackling him, and the bouncers are like trying to cover him up. And So I mean, that was the highlight.
Cardell, we'll say as well, he wasn't exactly an Adonis either.
No, I mean, he wasn't.
It was a cross between, I think, Danny DeVito and Del Boy Trump.
I mean, he was an interesting looking character. I mean, I'm the oil painting myself, but I think I was a wee bit better looking than old Cardell, like.
The sight of Cardell's meeting two veg, sent you scurrying back.
So no, I mean, it wasn't long after that the uni days were over. Like, and so
back, you came back Sideworth up and going again at this point, were they, or just the way it started?
Side was up and running, and it was good. I mean, it was Craig. Craig actually made me captain.
I was going to ask you, teaming in a lot of young boys just coming away from the Vale youth team, so. I mean, how old were you? You weren't that old yourself, but
I wouldn't have been very old. I mean, I guess I would have only been coming back for uni if it would have been, I would have only been about 24, 25 myself, and I mean, I guess that's it's not exactly the oldest player on the team I compare it now. Like, I mean, I'm still trying to play just now, but
the, you were skip that Ken, the
I was captain. I mean, like, guys like obviously my brother and Coco and Stoogie, Kev Thompson, all that sort of guys were just young boys. I mean, they just walked out of juvenile football, Ken. They were 17-year-old, Ken. So
was it tough?
I mean, it was. I mean, it was tough. I mean, it was a total rebuild. Mm-hmm. And when you, I guess when these guys, when they come out of juvenile FITBA and get thrown straight into junior FITBA,
it's a massive learning curve.
It's like, Ken, it is difficult, but I mean, the good thing about it, they were good enough to play. It was just physically they weren't there. I mean, Coco's still nae there physically, like with his wee noodle arm and that, like. But I mean, I mean, Craigar, I've got a lot of time for for Craigar as a person and as a coach. I mean, I guess at times maybe his approach didn't suit the younger boys. I mean, some boys couldn't take it.
Yeah.
Can guys like Roscoe and Stoogie and stuff maybe took things to heart, or some of the other younger boys, maybe it was like quite personal. It was never personal, but they took it personally.
Aye.
But I mean, I was quite used to that sort of style, so I kind of got on with it. And but no, I mean, Craig was a character, like he's still a big character, but
mellowed a bit by all accounts.
He has mellowed since, like, but I remember there was a dispute between Craig and the committee.
Okay.
I think it was because either the Aberdeen teams, like they always do, they come through with the wrong strip. You're then made to change strip. You end up wearing your away strip. And I think we'd been shafted the last like two or three home games, and Craig had enough with it. And he lost it. He lost the plot with it, and he kind of fell out with the committee or the heeds of it, I think. And so we are waiting in the changing room, and Ulster kind of, well, I've got a word with you, sort of thing. I need a word with you. And like, he's like, Craigar's gone. I was like, what do you mean he's gone? Like, he's gone far, like he's gone up the road, or far as he went. He's like, oh, he's finished, he's gone. So he actually left. So Craigar like actually just left. So I'm like, wow, so what do I do here? Like, so I'm like kind of in back in to tell the boys, aye boys, if you listen in, this is a bit of a steer, but Craigar's actually left. And boys are like, aye, come on, aye, wisen up. And I'm like, well, am I really getting, like, is this sort of banter, is this, like, is this how I'm getting marked this up? So we had to get, I was like, just have to get changed, because the game was, we still had a game.
Right.
So, well, I got changed and, like, I set up a warm-up. I was like, right, well, I can't name a team yet, because I'm not picking it, but, well, if we need to pick a team, we will. I can't think I would have done. I probably would have just had to pick the same team as a week before or something. So we did the warm-up. We got changed and got out and did the warm-up and I think he came back at, like, he came back at about 5-2. So, like, he came back and we got a team named, and I think we actually went out and we performed well. We actually went out and won, but
it's maybe mind games.
But no, I mean, Craig was a heart on his sleeve sort of guy, and he was very passionate. Obviously, sometimes that overspilled, but I mean, he certainly is a winner. Like, and I mean, he's still doing well in the game just now, and there's no surprise to that. Like,
good. So you had quite a number of years playing for side, but tell me about some of the best moments in a side shirt, thinking about playing.
I guess playing wise, there's no doubt. Craig Ewan, big Craigie sauce, teen over.
Aye.
That spell that when he teen over, I think we went on like an unbeaten run. Was it like 15 games or something, which led to the promotion game, and I guess that promotion final. I mean, we had a lot. Craig signed some big players at that time. We had like Safley and Mike Smith, and kind of good experience came into the team, and we found ourselves kind of through default, to be honest. I think that was a carry on when Inverness wasn't getting up because of their ground and stuff. But anyway, we found ourselves in a promotion playoff. And we went out and absolutely smashed Forest. It was up in Keith Isle of Vale's pitch. And it was just, you could just tell, I think John touched on it, I think just for the warm-up, right through to the game, was smashed him. It was at 7-1 or something like 7-1, that. 7-1, aye. 7-1. And, I mean, that day, again, the game itself, the celebrations in the changing room, the night after it was different class, and
culminating in the shit barn, which would be
so. Aye, I mean, old Max and Scrappuccino himself. I think Max is probably gone through. He's maybe
did,
a bit.
Did things go up a notch when Craig Ewan took over, or did things kind of just mosey along the same?
I think there were two different styles, I guess, of managers. Craig Ewan, I'm not saying it was we'd totally lost our confidence with Craig, but it maybe had run its course a wee bit. And Craig Ewan just allowed the guys just to play without any pressure. And we just kind of, once the pressure's gone for you, you can relax, get on the bar, the results followed. Once you start getting wins, you can fit like and fit by, you get that sort of winning mentality, and it kind of rolled through week to week. And I mean, Craig was very good. I mean, his attention to detail is second to none. He would know just as much about the opposition at junior level as then fit, like, as his own team. I mean, he knew everything about everyone, Ken, and he would be able to select players in certain positions to sort of nullify opposing players and stuff, and he sort of would be able to tweak formations and stuff to kind of come up against certain teams. And I think Craig certainly did very well under his spell, and he was kind of quite clever in the transfer market and stuff, and he managed to get some really good signings. Craig certainly did very well for us and for the team. Like, it kind of consolidated us in the Super League, because
top 6-8 finishes, wasn't
there? No, I mean, I think one year we just missed out on finishing fourth. But I think, I suppose their only downfall, and once we were up in the Super League, we kind of fell short at semi-finals.
Was that the biggest regret as a player?
I think definitely as a player, me and John were trying to figure out, I think we probably lost about five or six semi-finals, Ken, and that was just, I think that team was just missing a cup final. Certainly a cup final or a cup final win, obviously, but I think that was just kind of...
Craig said something similar on his end there. That was his one regret. He enjoyed his time at the side. He thought we did really well, but just not getting that cup final or a cup win that he thought...
Aye, and I think that was just fit. It was missing, because we had a really good team. I wouldn't just say the really good team as in the starting 11. It was a really good squad. So, like, the young players at the time were all very good. Can obviously, like, the young players that I mentioned earlier that were thrown in at 17-year-olds, they had obviously had a few years of experience, they were all kind of up to it, coupled with the sort of the players that he signed. We were decent.
So personally, best moment in a side shirt?
Definitely. I mean, I think fair playing wise, It would have to be the promotion game. But I mean, obviously later on, when we kind of come to the, I would say player management, but I didn't really play too much. But I mean, that sort of side of it was kind of, there was probably maybe more pride in that. But I mean,
maybe playing days in general, if it's your favourite game you've played in, would it be a promotion game now?
I think as terms of just a hail day out, certainly aye. But I mean, I think as a young young, fairly young lad. I mean, the cup double at Turriff was certainly up there.
Asking around, folks, you know, said you had some great games for a different side, but there was also a couple of times that didn't quite go to plan. You're saying there was a really big Scottish Cup game on Princess Royal Park one time. For some unknown reason, you were the designated penalty taker. It was 1-0, Team Fidoon Sooth, chance to get a replay, and you fluffed your lines and missed the pen.
I had never missed a penalty. All my days, I'd never missed a pen, and I was always quite confident at taking penalties. And it was a Scottish Cup game, and Blair Tate was brilliant. I mean, Blair Tate kept us in the game. The chance of the penalty was late on to kind of
get a replay,
and kind of could the club really afford
a bus?
Really?
£700
bus doing Ayrshire or wherever it was. Probably did the boys a favour, to be honest, missing it.
The only other nightmare moment that was brought up by an unknown source was your double of OGs against White Hills in the Grand Cup. Beat by White Hills.
Well, no, I mean, that was definitely Chinker that scored the double, but I mean, was that our first year taking over, our second year? It was maybe our second year. I wasn't fit at the time, hit to play. I think we had a patched up team. No excuses, because we should have won anyway. But I mean, a deflected header for 25 yards out ends up in. I mean, far scores headers for 25 yards out. Kenny Cracker didn't even score for 25 yards out. So I definitely got shafted there. There was another in when I played for a side, I think it was under Craig Stewart. Soapy scored a winner.
Okay.
I think it was on the back of that. Remember, there was the whole Banffy carry on, and not enough players in the area, sort of thing. And I think you spoke about that, even Craig. Was it John's? And Soapy, the players, he's my best mate, scores a winner, injury time, and he came running over. And I just volleyed him. It should have got sent off. He actually played for White Hills at that time, and I guess there was a couple of things. But I mean, I've got no ill feeling towards White Hills or the guys there. I mean, I think the game's always got overhyped a bit, at the end of the day, we're all pals. We all have a beer and a night out later. I didn't have any particular pride when we did give them some doings, because it was those games. But I mean, I suppose to counter those, the winner against Banks of Dee and stuff there was a few bullet headers that boys like to forget about as well.
In terms of then, what do you think your strengths were as a player?
Definitely my pace. that's sort of 10 to 15 yards burst. When I was a bit fitter, I was quite good at reading the game. Okay in the air. Probably should score more goals for set pieces than I did, but okay in the air. Could mix it a bit. I wasn't the dirtiest of players, but I could look after myself. I like to try and, didn't I get my wrong? Certainly not Rio Ferdinand, but I like to try and play a wee bit off of the back instead of just launching it every time. I'd say that.
Position-wise, you were predominantly a centre-half, maybe a couple of shifts at the left-back, but there was one particular game you were utilised as a holding midfielder.
I get shafted that game. Craigie tried to have a wee experiment of me playing holder. absolutely could play it, no bother. I mean, ability wise in the bar, definitely. But he chose Dice to try it out, and Dice at the time were a really good team. And
3-0 down at
half time, was it? 3-0 down at half time. And Fit boys like to forget is that Coco and Ernie were playing centre half, but it wasn't their fault, Ken. It was kind of the easy target. Murdo's playing holder, so it was his fault. Yeah. But I'm always reminded about it that me and if I got the hook, I can't mind. Me and somebody else got the hook at half time, and
1-4-3.
Boys won 4-3. So I always comes back, but. But as you know, the team winning is the main thing.
That's it. Who were the toughest opponents you came up against in your career?
Certainly, I guess in junior football, gone through school and juvenile and kind of youth football, I would have to say Rory McAllister.
Uh-huh.
He's just signed for Cove now, but he's at Peterhead for a long time. I think he's full time.
A lot of goals, yeah.
He was like really good. He just could finish for fun, and he was so strong and quick, and he kind of gave us a few doings, to be honest. And then lo and behold, his brother is actually a decent enough player as well. I mean, Jamie. Mm-hmm. He probably, in terms of juniors, was up there.
Top strikers.
I mean, I think he used to score like 40, 50 goals a season. And he was the only sort of player for the North region that would get into the Scotland junior squads stuff. So certainly when you came, you were coming up against him, I was played. I mean, it was Ernie used to push you out of the big games. Like, I mean, he had big game syndrome.
Okay.
We've touched on Paddy and stuff like that before, but I mean, he was certainly up there with the hardest teams, I would say.
Okay. So I guess Craigie announced his time was coming to an end, and John said that you and him, it was almost forced upon you to become co-managers in a way to keep the club going.
It was never our intention whatsoever to kind of take it over, because I didn't want to take the job. John kind of had to convince me that it was the right thing to do, obviously, because I had seen the club fold in the past. I knew that it was a real possibility.
Yeah. Thing is, the more times you fold, the less chance. Aye,
and it might have not came back. Aye, so I mean, John phoned, and me and John had sort of a few discussions, and he's like, "What do you think?" And I'm like, "That came." So I mean, I was only 27 at the time.
Yep.
So I mean, for me, it wasn't something that I was really wanting to do. However, we kind of put the club before ourselves, and I think the most important thing was that the committee was identified as an area that needed help. And like I say, I mean, Alistair, etc.,
had been long serving,
and I've got a lot of time for them because they've effectively kept the club going the years, but sort of getting your dad Hamish and Linda and stuff on board, we knew that the sort of support was in place for us to kind of have any chance succeeding. And Coco and Ernie and some of the other players, to be fair, really wanted us to take it on.
Mm-hmm.
So once we had their backing, which was a big thing, because we weren't sure how that would have went down.
And how was managing players that you were teammates me and played with? Was it tough?
It was. I mean, it was difficult at times, because I was effectively teammates, but I was also really good pals with them. My brother played in the team as well.
Well, that's
Ken, it's like It was difficult at times because you've got to mark decisions that upsets boys, and you kind of got to let boys down at times, but you've got to D that you think is right. And I mean, that was just fit you hit the D, but I mean, it wasn't easy.
Chinker
helped
you by being injured at the time.
Well, Chinker liked an injury, so if it wasn't a collar bones, it was knee injuries and whatever else, so.
Okay. In terms of, do you hear a certain philosophy style that you like to play, or is it just a case of using the advice you've got and trying to be hard to beat?
I had a chuckle as you described the big Sam approach at time. I think you had to kind of mark the May stuff that we had. I mean, obviously, if you could implement a passing out for the back sort of Pep style and kind of, or a high pressing style out of possession, you would. But I mean, no, certainly. I think the only sort of real time we kind of changed our style of play is when we kind of went to a 3-5-2 and kind of it was quite popular at the time. We sort of Conte, should you like, won the league with Chelsea, so we kind of tried to replicate that style to a junior spin, if you like.
Who's the first name on your team sheet, your manager?
Well, it had to be John, obviously.
So John named himself.
For ever goalie we could get. I mean, we had honestly, that was like,
there was one season I had the most appearances. I
think one season we went through seven goalkeepers. It was beyond a joke, to be honest. When Chris Blackhall is fit and ready, he is on a different sort of level to the rest of the boys, and that's not being disrespectful to the boys, because he could go and probably be the best player for Devon Vale if he really wanted to right now. So I mean,
your best signing all the time, apart from me.
Apart from yourself, I mean, Chris Blackhall coming back, but he kind of flirted with Devon side back and forth, So I mean, I wouldn't totally take that for credit. I mean, I think I would hate to say one of my best signings was actually wee JJ, Jordy Russell.
Doing well.
Just he's actually developed into a really good player. So I would definitely say JJ was up there with one of my best signings.
What was co-management like, and were there any big disagreements over the 4 years?
I think me and John actually, I'm obviously going to say we worked quite well. I would like to think we did well over the course. Obviously, there would be little things that you think, well, I think he should play, or vice versa, but you ultimately agree. I mean, it's quite amusing if you sort of bow to the player that plays instead of the boy you want, and he has a stinker or something, you kind of well, I told you he shouldn't have been playing anyway. But I think the boys, I had a good chuckle, fun. We were 3-1 down, or was it 4-1 down or something, and I think John was getting totally frustrated. And he decided, I just says, ach, well, I'm just getting up changes. So I subbed John, and his reaction was priceless. He had a big rant, spat the dummy, I'm not coming off. We had a bit of a moment on the sidelines. But the majority of the times we were fine, if good cop, bad cop needed to be played, it would be done, and I thought we worked quite well together, to be fair.
Okay. In terms of other managers though, in the juniors, or MD, you really just hated coming up against in terms of dugout wars?
You've got a couple of characters. Mr. Muirhead Lewis, it's coming on in a few weeks. Bridge of Dawn. I mean, see, to be honest, during a game, He is the biggest wind-up merchant ever. He'll try to intimidate you. Yeah. He'll try and wind up your players.
Yep.
He likes to play the sort of pantomime villain. Mm-hmm. But having said that, a waff of the game, and if can like
aye.
Back at the social club and stuff,
yep.
he's a topper of a guy. he actually is actually a really sound guy, and he'll. Ken, he's Ken, and I'm not saying it's just a total show, but there's an element of it as a maybe a bit of
aye.
Bravado it's put on. But I mean, a waffy the 90 minutes. He's actually a nice guy.
Is it possible to have any friendships between managers in that leagues or?
I never. I wouldn't say I had close friendships, but I mean. Kyle Mackay, he's manager of Bucky Rovers.
Yeah. Okay.
We're obviously great rivals, although I think Bucky kind of take that rivalry a bit
more
seriously than a different side do. But anyway, I mean, I've played against Kyle. He's kind of fell into that. Him and Gav kind of fell into that role, like similar to me and John.
Aye.
So we kind of would chat after games and stuff and kind of... speak about the problems that go on at our level, our teams, I suppose. But Paul Winton, Boogle, I played a bit with him at Huntley. He's at Isle of Vale. Kind of spoke a lot of him. Fraser Bremner, didn't I speak as much, but kind of came to kind of played with him and stuff. And I guess Alan Hale, kind of spoke to him a bit. I mean, nae at a stage where I would pick up a phone and hear a conversation with him, but he was quite good that he would try and help me out the best they could, especially when he was at the Highland League and stuff. So,
last bit on management, last couple of bits. Relegation, the toughest point?
Without a doubt. That was a really tough season for us. John and I teeing it on, we actually ended up finishing 10th that season, in the first season, and we could have got relegated that season, to be honest, but it was so tight at the bottom.
We just survived.
But the following season, we lost big players, the goalie, Kieran McCaffrey, went away, and Beano went with Vale, and Crowbot, and we lost. There was some big injuries as well, and the squad just kind of dwindled, and we didn't... Unfortunately, we weren't able to replace the players with the same quality. And we just weren't good enough. I think we got, was it about 12 points or something that season? And it was just, trying to motivate players week in, week out, caning that we're a lot of play teams like Banks of D and Cooter and stuff, and we weren't at that level anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like trying to say, kind of like we're sitting in Spain Park, Banks of D away, and I'm like sitting, I really fancy us today, boys, again, like... I think there's an upset in us today, Ken, and Abdi's sitting there thinking, shut up, man.
10-1.
Just wising up. We just get this game played and we go home.
For that season, you go into your last season as manager, and that's got to be the best moment. So what a way to go out. Promotion in basically a playoff game and a cup win against our rivals.
Well, we had a season prior to that, our third season, for it was kind of... It was kind of like a rebuilding job. We finished second in the league that year. Nairn, sorry, won the league. But we kind of like regrouped. But it was actually the following season, so it would have been my fourth season that we really kicked on. And I think that was probably... In terms of recent times, it's got to be regarded as probably the best season that we've had in recent times.
Yep.
We identified that cup at the very beginning as a cup we needed to win. I
I wasn't as shy in saying to the guys before we even kicked a ball in the group stages, this is a cup we need to win. And kind of put the pressure on the boys and put it out there. Mm-hmm. Was it the right thing to do? Again, in hindsight, isn't it? But we ultimately won the cup, so the pressure maybe was a good thing. But no, I mean, that cup win against Bucky and the promotion, I mean, we were still in for the league right up until the end. Aye. We fell short against Bankery. They won the league, so we had one game left against the Broch, and we needed a point. And Johnny popped up with the goal like he does, so...
And we secretly laughing like, you boys are going back to
school. Well, Saturday, I mean, me and John were secretly sort of joking all week. It's like, we need to chuck us, do we? John's like, I don't know if I've got a Super League in my... but nah, I mean, joking aside...
And if you've been keeping an eye on the team, they've had a good start to season.
No, and I mean, you want to win every game you can, and you want to play at the highest level you can. And I think maybe some of the boys in the squad never really believed in themselves enough, but they're certainly more than capable of performing at that level, and they've done a great start. And Mikey and John can be proud of the team so far, definitely.
So, I mean, it wasn't a surprise to a lot of people because you had planned to step down at the end of that season anyway. I think reasonably well into the season you'd decided. And now you're back playing at Rothie Rovers.
Hi, I mean, I'm certainly trying to play, I mean, I guess.
So, it seemed to me like it's a good setup at Rothie. And I've driven past, I reckon a lot about it. But they've obviously got ambitions to get the juniors for next season. Is that going to happen?
I mean, they've kind of been quite successful in recent times. They won the North of Scotland Cup last year in the Premier Trophy, and they're just looking for an opportunity to progress. They've got a great setup. I mean, the pitch is brilliant. I mean, they've got their own groundsman. It's basically a junior setup as it is, but they need to do some groundwork to the sort of facilities, like do the perimeter fencing and kind of like do the
guards. For next season?
I think the plan is very much in place for this next season. But whether or no they get it approved, but fingers crossed they can. But we'd go into the second division and kind of start for there.
And are they good enough to compete in that?
Certainly in the second division and juniors. I went to put ourselves out there, but I mean too much. But I think you've got to be looking to get promotion in the first season. Obviously, going into the first division would be more difficult. But certainly, I mean, they look to progress through the.
That's good, and the juniors are crying out for well-run clubs to.
I mean, the manager Kev Beaton and the coaching team are like Grant and Brian and Asher and stuff. They're very motivated to for the club to do well, and kind of like. I'm confident that Rothie will progress and kind of.
There's a wee contingent become, side boys there as well.
I know it's been good because I mean it wasn't on the cards for me, but Stuart Gray is there and Robbie King. Stuogie actually got in touch with me once it kind of become public that I was stepping down for different side, so he was on my case straight away, which I hadn't really thought about it to be honest, but the chance of just going back and playing again was a real sort of
well. You keep playing for juniors.
if I'm asked back for next year, I'll certainly stick around for another year. But I mean, signing for Rothie was a big thing for me because obviously staying in Inverurie now, socially. Getting to know the boys. I mean, it's a great dressing room, a great bunch of boys. So I've like got to know boys for the area, but obviously for driving as well. again, it's 10 minutes from my door, and and again, it's a good standard, and it's ultimately juniors that'll be back playing the juniors, so it'll be good.
In terms of future, you're obviously doing a bit of scouting, youth scouting for Aberdeen alongside Big Greg. Do you have ambitions to manage again, or is that your one stint?
I would never say never. I'm really enjoying the youth scouting with Aberdeen just now. It's something I would like, it's an area I'd like to develop. I mean, there's different courses and stuff that I can go on and kind of get a better knowledge in terms of the scouting of the area. But I would never say never. I mean, if the opportunity sort of arose again down the line, I would maybe not necessarily look to be the manager, but I'd maybe be like a coach for someone. I would still. Yeah. I think it'll be difficult to come away from FITBA, because again, ultimately you've been involved with FITBA since it's ingrained in you, so. I think you'll definitely stay in football in some capacity.
Cool. All right. You can rattle through your best 11 for him in a minute. But first of all, I was running a wee competition Facebook page. So the winner will get a bottle of whiskey or a bottle of gin, depends what they want to choose. And I'll try and get a local one because it's a local podcast. So all the names are in this bowl. You want to pick one out and read out the name of the winner. I hope you didn't pick it yourself. John Milne Jr. from Whitehills, one of the youth coaches, I believe. Well done, John.
He likes a dram.
You can contact the page with your required gin or whiskey, whatever you fancy, and I'll get it to you. In fact, John Milne's, he's a linksman now, eh?
I did see that.
Bit dodgy, couple of offsides he missed.
Is he going to be the new Andy Ewan?
He's going to be the new Dave McLaren, I think.
Dave McLaren.
Okay, so we'll go through this quite quickly. Right. It's your best 11 you've played with. You've gone for the diamond, a lot of folk do, because most wingers are pretty inconsistent and shit, so.
No.
Tell me about your team.
Number one in goals, Blair Tate. I mean,
he's been in a few teams now.
He first and foremost, he's a really nice guy. But his goalkeeping ability is brilliant in terms of the level. I mean, he's had opportunities to go back and play Highland League, and he's quite content playing with the Brock Junior team. But I mean, for being such a young age when he was with us. The standard of his goalkeeping was immense.
And he came through a bit of a bad injury as well.
He had a really bad injury, but I'm glad now he's kind of overcame that, and he's back playing. And I mean, Ross Buchanan was a really good goalie at Turriff. He was another one that was really good. But I mean, I'll go Blair for that.
Blair is your right back, is your old mentor. Ray Fox.
I've put Razor in. I've got to get Razor into the team. I mean, I can't get Razor into the team. I touched on it earlier. I mean, Ray is an absolute character. He wouldn't be too annoyed at my saying maybe technical ability isn't. He is maybe the greatest. However. For somebody that applies himself towards a game, he will run himself into the ground. He will get absolutely and he kind of drives boys on.
And you need a mix of that. Boys that are going to lift the dressing room, and he certainly did.
He's just a great guy, and I've got a lot of time for him. And I'm sure he'll be glad he got a good mention on the podcast.
Definitely, and I'm hoping to speak to him. I'm trying to figure out how I can DSO the phone.
A wee Skype.
Obviously, he lives in Malta. But he'll hear a story or two to tell, I'm sure. Left back,
I'm going to go for Robbie King. Not just because I'm still playing with him just now. I just thought when Robbie was fit and he was playing for that left back position, he's so comfortable at gliding past players, and he doesn't have pace, but he can just glide by boys, and the amount of penalties he used to win, chipped in with goals, crosses into box. Yeah. I mean, he was just very good in that position. But I mean, there was obviously Chrissy Craib was a great left back, and Chris Strachan as well, great left fit. But I'm going to go for Robbie King.
Okay, your centre half pairing.
This is probably the hardest part. I'm not going to count the Huntley boys. Again, like, because Scotty Anderson and boys like that are a different like level. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go with Barry Massey.
Okay.
He was the Turriff captain. And he was just an absolute leader. Aye. Like I touched on it earlier, the sort of expectation level was always high with him. His demand he put in players. Good player, hard as nails. And he captained the team to that two cup wins. Yeah. So, I mean, he's in it for me.
Alongside him?
I'm going to have to put Ernie.
Okay.
Ernie's got to go in. I think Ernie, hopefully he doesn't regret it, but he's cut his time a bit short in terms of playing wise.
He's been dotting about, he's had
a few cameos here and there, but I mean, Ernie consistently got the player of the year for us. We do wind him up that he used to bottle some big games, but he's a very good player in centre half or centre midfield.
Okay. Moving at your midfield then, you've got who's sort of the
holding role. I mean, I'm going to go for my cousin, Paul Munro.
Okay.
He was just very good technically, strong, good passer of the bar. And he went, he played obviously with us through school, through youth football. He went to Cali, he was full time at Cali, and it didn't quite work out for him. For one reason or another, and he found himself back playing with Turriff and stuff.
Another who stopped far too early. Just
definitely. He lost a bit of love for the game. He obviously then become a father and young kids, and he had a back injury and just a few things. Didn't go for him. He's the same age as me. He's still 32. He could still be playing, definitely.
Role,
he would still be strolling that just now. Another player that could sort in that role is obviously my mucker Ando. But I didn't count him as really. I didn't really play with him. I mean, I live in a side fit bar, but. And I'm pretty sure I want to mark it into his in next week. So.
Okay. And so your two centre midfielders in front of Paul.
In front of Paul, I mean, this is probably going to be a given for a lot of teams, but Stuart Flett and Johnny McLay.
Flett has pretty much appeared in the team. Like anybody that's played with him has got him in the
team. I mean, Flett for me should have been our captain. He was just such a big player. He was probably, I don't know how old he was at the time when he was back with us. He was probably like 32, 33, and he was still like the fittest in the team, and he was. He sort of set the standard in training, and he hated it if we like missed training sessions or Craigie tried to give us one a week or whatever. But such a big player, such a presence, scored goals, loved a tackle.
He was an all-rounder, he could play anywhere.
I could have put him centre-half as well, to be honest. I mean, he was just a really good player. And
then you've had to name your co-manager.
I kind of nape it, John, in it, like, to be honest. But, I mean, John, for me, to consistently score 15 to 20 goals a season for centre midfield, it's a skill in itself. I mean, I didn't need to sort of say too much more about that.
His name's on that Player of the Year trophy a few times. I mean,
he's kind of like, I mean, I get a bit of stick at times. John, I was blazing, you didn't know. But I mean, there was a couple reasons why to that is, I mean, obviously the players that were playing centre half, Ken, were better than that I was, so they had to play. But you just couldn't take John's goals out of the team because you just can't take that goals out. So the amount of goals he popped up with over the years.
Yeah. And then attacking midfield role, another arena your muckers.
I've got another arena of my pals. I mean, Granty Noble is playing in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of number 10 role is just made for him.
Yeah.
Him and Paul growing up were just by far the best two players in our sort of age group in the area. I mean, Grant didn't go full time, but he probably wasn't too far away from it in terms of trials and stuff.
I think that you maybe try to coax him to the side a couple of times.
Aye.
You could tell he came to train with us once, I think, when it was Christmas period. And you could tell he was just that step above us.
He was just kind of, I mean, he's probably, you're wanting him in your fives team, that's for sure. But I mean, I think on him, I mean, his granny has just started speaking to me again recently because I actually done him out of his Turra United goal bonus, top goal scorer bonus a year because he tried to push me. I don't know why he was trying to like take me in a headlock or something after a night out in Aberdeen, and I've kind of shrugged him off. He stepped out onto the road, got hit by a car, broke his foot, killed his win bonus, Chris Hunter raging. So, but Sheena's actually made up with my new, like, so it's fine.
Nice and your strikers, you're two up front.
I think, again, there's a lot of players I could choose in this position. But Chris Blackhall, I think, has to be in the team. We touched on it earlier. He is a player that is certainly Highland League player. Could he have even played in the Scottish League, Ken, if he was went right at it when he was 18, 19, 20 and kicked on? Maybe.
One of the best players to come out of this area in that generation.
Definitely, for his sort of age group. The
final slot goes to a guy who I think he does listen. He was in my house putting up my TVs the other day.
A wee pog for Gary, if you went any aerials or TVs or anything sort of, he's your man. I mean, Gary Petrie.
You can also find the net.
Aye, I mean, Gary Petrie, for me, was just very good. He was top quality. Whether he could play in midfield, centre mid, and spray them about, he had enough pace to play wide. He played as a striker. He just had a lot of ability and a really, really nice guy to hear around the changing room and stuff. And I think in terms of penalties, it's quite a, like the in thing new that you just wait until the keeper dives. I mean, he was doing that years ago. He just would just walk up and just wait till the keeper dived and just put it to the other side. I mean, he certainly is a player. But I mean, I would say this team was very difficult to pick because I've seen.
Okay, so in terms of yourself, would you get in many games if you were in the squad?
I mean,
Ernie, would you get a big game? Probably.
I get called up for the tough ones, like, because Ernie would bottle it and leave. Like, I mean, there is some players that's obviously just missed out. Couldn't have picked Chinker in the starting 11 because obviously that would be
bring him on for throw-ins.
But he could come in for the throw-ins. Coco and that just kind of missed out. But obviously there's some really good players, Kev Thompson and the boys out of our squad that we played. Mm-hmm. The list goes on. Robbie Allens and Graham's Donkeys, etc. Roscoe's. Mm-hmm. There's so much players, Stoogie, etc. That I could have got into teams, but
quality team though, would they challenge or win Super League as it stands currently if you dropped them in their prime?
The
current Super League.
Current Super League. I wouldn't go as far as just saying they would definitely beat Banks of Dee. I would definitely think they'd be certainly challenging with other cups, and they would definitely be in the mix for the league. They wouldn't have been walked over, that's for sure. Maybe a wee bit of lack of pace on the team, maybe for Anita, but they definitely wouldn't be bullied.
And who's your captain?
I would hate to go. Although Barry Massey is a natural sort of leader and a captain, I would have to go Fletty.
Fletty
is a boy.
Okay. It's been great hearing it all. I always finish with a couple of quick fire questions for you that I'll spring on you. So I'll just fire them, and these are quick fire.
Okay.
So, VAR, yes or no?
No, thanks.
No, okay. Will Scotland qualify for Euro 2020 next month?
I fancy us.
Not many folk do. In terms of FITBA, is there a rule or something that you would change about FITBA that really bugs you?
I think maybe almost like a wee roll on, roll off thing. If there's like a head injury or something, if somebody's bust and needs like the old Terry Butcher bandage. I think maybe that could be looked at.
We've heard that a time before. Last season I spoke about the possibility of like an orange card. This season I'm thinking my pet peeve is semi-finals being played at Hampden and Wembley. I think it should be the final only.
Definitely. I think that's certainly a look at it. High in Hampden, half empty is just...
So from your current Rothie Rovers squad, if you had to pick six aside team to save your life, who'd be in it?
Am I allowed to be in it? Or
it's up to you, it's your team. If I was going to save my life, I'd pick myself in goals, definitely.
I'll not go in it because I'll end up getting a fine if I put myself in it. I'll hate to put Walsh in goals.
Yeah.
Lewis Milne, really good keeper. He has got a good chance to kind of keep developing. Put him in goals. I'll go. Stooge will be greeting, but he's not getting in the fives team. Right. I mean, he kind of play fives. I'll put Wooder. Experienced heed, he's been at Rothie a long time. Very good player. I think he was a player of the year last year.
Okay.
I'll put him at the back. Keithy Walker, the captain.
Okay.
Robbie King.
Robbie, yeah.
I'll put them two. They would kind of keep the ball. And Robbie kind of did a dribble by Abdi, I think. Up front, I'll go Jake Stewart. Jake is fairly young player, but he's got a good chance as well. My kicking on.
Okay.
And to partner him, I'll go Sean Bremner.
Okay.
Also had a recent appearance on Come Dine With Me. Better put him in for that.
Right, very last question. Which professional player, past or present, do you think matches your attributes, your style and personality closest?
I'm trying to think if I would be a slow centre. I don't know, Ken. I mean, I guess I tried to... I mentioned it earlier. I mean, I guess I tried to play like... Big Colin Hendry.
Okay.
That'll be my boy. Nathan will like him, but we'll go for that to finish.
Well, thanks for your time, Wayne. It's been a pleasure.
Spot on, man. Absolutely loved it. Cheers.
Thank you.
Once again, thanks to Wayne for coming on and for stepping up to the plate as the season opener. Hope you enjoyed it, and if you did, please look us up on Facebook and like and follow the page there. Also, subscribe on your preferred podcast provider so you never miss an episode. And if you are feeling very generous, leave me a rating and a review of the podcast and recommend it to your friends. Find us and subscribe to us on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, as well as Anchor. And just search for Beyond Canal Park and you'll find us there. Well done to John Milne, Junior that is, for winning the competition, please get in touch with me to claim your prize and let me know if you prefer gin or whiskey. If anyone else wants to get in touch, then please do so via the Facebook page or email me on jamesmclay@hotmail.co.uk. I'm happy to take any questions, feedback, guest suggestions, if you want to come on yourself or just general inquiries. Stuart Anderson is up next, so if you have any burning questions you'd like me to ask him, then please do get in touch. I'll be recording that one on Tuesday, so get in touch with me before then. Another thanks to Kevin at One Way to Drive for sponsoring this episode. All proceeds from the adverts this series will be going to charity, half to Brighter Horizons and the other half to the British Lung Foundation, two charities that do mean a lot to me and that I'm doing some direct work with. Contact me for more details on sponsoring and advertising an episode if you are interested. There are a couple of episodes still available. In terms of local football, next weekend, the 7th of March, Devon's side of the long trip away to Montrose in the Super League. Devon Vale, they host Forest Mechanics, looking to take 6 points from them this season. And White Hills will host Isle of Vale in the league at School Park as they look to get their season going again. Most importantly though, thank you all very much for listening, and I'll see you all next week. Episode of the Beyond Canal Park podcast is sponsored by Kevin Murdo Driving Instructor, One Way to Drive. Kev offers a thoroughly professional service with the option of 1 hour or 1.5 hour slots available. He will even sort you out with great offers on block bookings. For more information, call 0777 979 6487 or contact Kev through the One Way to Drive Facebook page. Go on, give Kev a call. 0777 979 6487. You'll be glad you did.